Doug Harsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1. Hope everybody's doing great here on this Wednesday. It is hot. Man, it's hot.
Oh, it's warm.
Mm-hmm.
A little hazy out there, too.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be like that much of this week. But anyway, we've got a lot of Piston news this morning. If you're just like breaking for lunch and you missed what went down, the Pistons made a signing or a sign and trade. It hasn't been clear yet, but they get younger at the four. They get cheaper at the four, and they might get a better player at the four. John Collins gets a 3-year, $51 million deal. He's a more of a stretch four, and he is a guy that is a decent enough player in the pick-and-roll game, can finish on the lob, 13.6 points, 5.3 rebounds, and 40.6 from three last year. Sure looks like he's brought in to replace Tobias Harris. In the meantime, Jalen Duren's hire me tour out west. The Lakers are out. They have signed what appears to be a sign and trade with Utah. Walker Kessler, the center, and I've given him a 4-year, $130 million deal. So any link between Duren and Boston seems to be dried up because Boston today signed Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks. So Duren's probably not going there. I suppose Utah and the Knicks now come calling for Jalen Duren because they just lost centers. Maybe.
Maybe. But again, Pistons will likely match anything.
Yeah, Mitchell Robinson came off the bench, though. So you wouldn't be, they don't need a starter and they need more of a backup. They
right.
Pay starter money for a backup.
And Kessler's deal is for $130 million. So that's okay. You know that Duren's going to get more than that. The Pistons had to have offered at least that, you would imagine.
One would think.
So, but you got the gap now. 130 to 177. Somewhere in between is what Duren will get.
You know what I'm hopeful? I'm hopeful that if Duren's camp was mad and went out in the open market and said, we're out of here. And then the market kind of dried up for him, and maybe it hasn't completely dried up for him, but I thought the most likely place he'd end up was L.A., that he can't really come back to Detroit and be that mad. All right, fine. Because if it's possible that nobody wanted to pay him that. And then did Trajan offer him whatever he offered, which was far apart from what he expected because he's got even more planned? I mean, we always pointed out that apparently they were going to make a run at Austin Reeves, and that was going to be super expensive. But he also said all along they're planning on bringing Duren back. So it might be Duren. If they get Duren back, it could be Duren plus. And the question is, what's that plus? But you can go vote and comment on our Twitter poll. Do you approve so far of the offseason? Any comments, Ken, sum this up here?
Yeah, I definitely approve so far. I think, you know, it looks like more and more likely every single day that passes now that Jalen Duren is going to be back at a contract that Trajan Langdon probably feels comfortable with. I think upgrading from Tobias Harris with John Collins, although it may be like, it's not that it's leaps and bounds upgrade, I think it's an upgrade. And I think the culture is built here enough with Cade and JB Bickerstaff and Asar that can, you know, they can handle the loss of a veteran guy like Tobias. John Collins is very, very athletic. Like, he's a lob guy as well. So you'll have two lob guys now when Jalen Duren coming, if Jalen Duren does come back. So that's a pick and roll option. And he can stretch the floor a little bit. He doesn't shoot a high volume of threes, but he's got the capability of hitting a three-pointer. And I think with Isaiah Joe bringing more shooting, I think Duncan Robinson's probably going to be part of a move, whether it's he gets waived or he's part of a signing trade. I think Trajan Langdon's still looking for more because the one thing, although I think overall, Doug, he's improved the talent roster on this team around Cade. The one thing they're lacking is that true number two guy who can create his own shot when Cade's off the court or if Cade's getting blitzed or double teamed that he can go down and get a bucket himself or create a bucket. And I look at the free agents available guys. There's not much left out there. So like other men, maybe an Anfernee Simons who can create his own shot.
Like him.
He might be, I think Langdon's still maybe war chesting for a bigger move. Is it Trey Murphy? You know, is it LeBron? I don't know, but I think he's got enough flexibility with all the things he's done that he can absorb another big contract here.
Is it signing a free agent like Rui Hachimura?
He plays the same position as Collins. I'd be surprised if they brought in Rui at this point. But I can't rule anything out. I don't know what Trayden's up to, but I think he's up to something.
Feels like it. Feels like it. The first step is to actually get some finality on a Durin deal, and you know, maybe he does go back to Detroit with the news today, and maybe Sacramento does come with something strong. We'll see. 248-539-9797. Do you approve so far of this offseason? Meantime, we got some Tiger stuff we'll get to. AJ Hinch joined the morning show, had a chance to talk about how the trade deadline impacts this team, this roster, and what he thinks about it and what they're going through right now. Back-to-back, very impressive wins in New York, which is right online. They'll probably sweep this series, take two of three this weekend, and then drop four of the next five, which just seems to be their modus operandi. Look fantastic, and then look terrible.
It's just maddening.
I think it's unusually mad. Like, baseball seasons are filled with streaks. This feels to me like it's unusually maddening, both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it can be tied with injuries to. I mean, it's remarkable how important Gleyber Torres is to this team and the record that they have with him and without him. There's a clear difference that he makes. It's a calming influence at the top of the lineup, a guy who gets on base 40% of the time. It kind of sets the table for others. The starting pitching has been so good. But the rest of the lineup being as erratic as it has, they're either on or they're not. And the bullpen has been the same way. That's why they are what they are. Eventually, it's, you know, when all shakes out, this might be a 500 team, which might be good enough to make the playoffs when all is said and done. And it can still be that way. They can still be that way even if they trade Tarek Skubal, because you're trading Skubal. Can you add offense to that? That balances it. And by the way, you've got enough good starting pitching to absorb.
Okay, there was a move made by one of our teams in recent days that had people going, is this because they're going to do something different, or are they letting him go? I think most people thought they were going to do something different. Carter Mazur, that option was turned down and became a free agent. He has just signed a two-year contract with an average annual value of $875,000 with the Red Wings. So I guess he's coming back. They weren't going to let him hit the open
I thought market. It was weird when I saw that this morning, that it was, because it seems like it's a player that they like, but they haven't got a chance to see a lot of him because he's been hurt with some weird injuries. But that they still like him. He's a tenacious competitor, which they like. They need that extra kind of toughness, not necessarily fighting toughness, but toughness in going into the corners and digging out pucks. But he's probably destined to be a bottom six forward, but he's cheap, he's young, he's determined, and we'll see where he ends up being as a Red Wing in the future here. But it's not, I mean, for that kind of money, it's easy. Take it.
Feedback coming in. Counting on players to improve is a future thinking mentality, which may never actually happen. Ron Holland couldn't even get on the court after 2 years.
Well, that's not true. Ron Holland has played in almost every game in the last 2 years. What he didn't see was time in the playoffs. That part's accurate. I can't imagine that that's their plan with Ron Holland. I think Ron Holland is part of their future plans because he's so good defensively, and you know, they haven't scratched the surface of what he is offensively. I don't know if he's a future all-star by any means, but is he a guy that can get back into the rotation and be a 20-minute guy?
I'm not sure what the point of this text is. Counting on players to improve is a future thinking mentality, which may never actually happen. Of course it may never happen. Or you're Dylan Dingler, right? I mean, guys in sports can get better. And they might not. You got to figure out which ones you're going to be patient with and which ones you aren't. And you should do your best to be right on those. But it doesn't mean you shouldn't have some patience with young players.
Yeah, and Ron Holland averaged 20 minutes a game last year. 8 points in 20 minutes.
Durin and Assar on the floor together was an issue in the playoffs. Looks like it's going to be more of the same this year. It might be, but there's a chance that they'll... the big thing they got to figure out is Durin's postseason performance.
Yeah, it wasn't a problem in the regular season. But it was a problem in the postseason. And again, getting back to the future thinking that you're expecting guys to improve, I guess I do expect guys that are in their early 20s to improve.
I think there's a chance, yeah.
So I don't know how much they improve, how much they blossom, but I would expect that Duren's going to be a better playoff performer than what we saw last year or a few weeks ago because it was so strikingly bad compared to his regular season. And Asar Thompson is so much more to gather offensively. I'm excited about his future because they're giving him the opportunities.
All right, Gator. In soccer tonight, we play Bosnia and Herzegovina in the first of the knockout, the bracket play.
Mm-hmm. Try to make the Sweet 16.
Yep. And I got to thinking, can you name one famous person from Bosnia and Herzegovina?
Off the top of my head.
Yes. Not only am I challenging you, I'm challenging the audience. Without looking it up off the top of your head.
I know there's a ton. I just can't think of one.
248-539-9797. If I say, name a famous person from Bosnia and Herzegovina, who do you got? Hey, sit on it. We'll give you the commercial break to come up with somebody. I came up with one name. I have no clue, but sounds like it might be right.
Yeah, I mean, I have several, but I'm not sure if they are.
Okay, well, we'll take text as well. Off the top of your head, name somebody famous from Bosnia and Herzegovina. 248-539-9797. Do you approve of this Pistons offseason so far? It is Carson Anderson here on 97.1. All right, who you got? Off the top of your head, who you got famous from Bosnia and Herzegovina? What's your guess?
Is Jokic or Doncic one of those guys from? Is it? I don't know where the.
You got an itch?
I got an itch. Is it an itch?
Well, I'm going to go to Sports People because I Google searched on Wikipedia'd and I came up with famous people. It's funny because I'm like, maybe, and apparently not.
I don't know. Was Darko from there?
Wasn't he Serbian? Is that the same or no?
I guess when they split off, and that's where it becomes it. I apologize.
Yeah, I know.
Look, everybody throughout the world.
Yeah, me too.
It's my own ignorance. I apologize.
Well, hold on. I wouldn't have brought it up as a topic if I thought it was going to be offensive. Is this going to be super offensive?
No, I hope not. I mean, I don't know.
Okay, I came up with somebody and I have no idea, but it sounds like this person might be. But I haven't looked. I'm about to look. Bjork.
No, she's Icelandic.
You say with a degree of certainty.
Yeah.
Well, you, my friend... I'll see if I can find musical artists.
Oh, man, he loves her.
Just look one of his favorite artists.
Well, I'm here. I'm on them.
One of my favorites. Yeah.
It's okay.
Apparently,
she's on the list, the 10-hour list, song list.
I heard that's what you listen to driving up to Shady Creek.
It was a good 6 or 7 songs from Bjork. Yeah.
No, Bjork is not from Bosnia and Herzegovina.
Where is she from, Doug?
I don't know. I have to do another search because I just have a list of famous people and she's not on it. Bjork is from Iceland.
Oh, is that where?
Come on, man! You didn't have to search it. You got it right in front of you.
Well, he wanted me to search that. Do you got anybody, Kang?
Brian Windhorst. Google that, or maybe he's from Iceland. I don't know.
From Upper Arlington, Ohio. Oh. I don't know. I'm just making that up. I have no idea.
Mo in Sterling Heights, you're on 97.1. Hi, Mo.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
We're good.
Hey, right off the top of my head, first person I thought of was Yusef Nurkic because his nickname is the Bosnian Beast.
There it is.
Yep. From the Jazz?
He is.
Yep.
Let's see here. I got to go to. Have you looked that up, Gator?
Yes.
Okay, he is.
Yep.
There you go, Mo. You're a winner. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of without having to look it up.
Yeah, without having to look it up. I mean, well done. Well played. 248-539-9797. Kurt on a cell. You're next. Hi, Kurt.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hey, Jedko. Jedko is the best player on Bosnian team. I'm a Bosnian, by the way.
You are? Okay.
Yeah, and I listen to you guys every day. I've been here for 30 years, and I'm happy my country's finally in the World Cup, and it's either USA or Bosnia, but Bosnia today for sure.
Okay, Kurt, real quick, let me start with this. Is this topic even remotely offensive to you?
No, not really.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure. Two is, who's like the most famous musical artist from Bosnia?
He recently died. His name was Khalid. That's how you pronounce it. But, you know, he's like a country singer in our country.
Really? His name was Halib?
Yeah. Khalid. It's like H-A-L-I-D.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Khalid Beslich, I think.
Beslich.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Beslich. There you go.
The folk singer, yeah.
Okay, cool. What about the most, who's the most famous actor or actress from Bosnia?
There's so many. I don't know. I'm most into sports, so.
Oh, but we can respect that.
Yeah, is the most famous sports broadcaster Brian Windhorst?
For NBA, yeah.
All right, Kurt, give us a scouting report on your team.
Oh, man. I don't know.
Okay, who's your best player?
Yeah. Jekyll.
Jekyll?
Jekyll.
Okay. All right.
Good.
Keep our eye open for him tonight.
Good luck, just not too much luck.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, he said either way, he wins tonight. He's happy either way.
Yep. Kurt, thank you for listening, and thanks for the intel.
Thank you, guys. You're doing a good job. I'm listening every day.
Appreciate
Go Lions, by the way.
Right. Go Lions.
Thank you very much.
Straight out of Bosnia.
So as far as actors or actresses, the one, there's two that I recognize. One, I don't think many will, but I've seen her in other movies. Ivana Milosevic, she's been on some TV shows. I hard to explain. But Carl Malden.
What?
Carl Malden is listed here on Wikipedia. It says actor, Oscar winner, former president of the American the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. His family originates from Bosnia, so it's based on that. He's, I think, was born in America, but Carl Malden.
Did he change his name?
I don't know if he changed his name. Go and look at his. He was born in Chicago. Yeah. Yes, actually, he did.
Okay.
His name.
Let's go.
This is fantastic.
So glad I asked.
His name was Mladen George Sekulovic.
He changed it to Carl Malden?
Changed to Carl Malden.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay, I want to dig into what was Brian Windhorst's name before he switched.
Yeah, obviously. Right, Doug?
Yeah. Aaron Zeko is from Bosnia, world-famous soccer player. Phil. Andrew Waterford says Tony Kukoc?
Was he?
No.
He's Croatian, right?
Was he? I think he's Croatian.
Borat?
I don't know what Borat was.
Wasn't Vladi Divac and Drazen Petrovic from Bosnia? From Stan in a truck. I don't think so, but Croatia. There's a lot of Croatians. It's common mistake. Croatians and Bosnians get mixed up. Utah Jazz have a Bosnian guy. Yeah, we already mentioned it. You know, we should stop before we do get super offensive. But Carl Malden, you say, huh?
Brian Windhorst is not offended by this.
Yes, Carl Malden. Oh.
You got another one?
Bojan Bogdanovic.
Oh, really? Okay. I could buy into that.
That would be another basketball player. Otherwise. No, don't see anything else I recognize.
All right. Do you got a list of famous Bosnians in front of you?
I do.
All right, cool. Well, thanks to Kurt for calling. Little Bosnian intel.
Oh, got the game tonight.
Yep.
It's a big game.
It is.
Win or go home.
It's win or go home.
Wait, we're already home.
win or stay here.
Yeah.
I should put that on a poster.
They gave out free shirts when I went to that.
Did you get one?
I mentioned I went to the friendly U.S. versus Germany, and they were handing out free shirts. And they had a slogan on the front, which I was like, not sure I like this slogan. It was had the USA soccer crest on it, and it said, "No underdogs, only dogs." And I'm like, this could be interpreted a number of different ways.
Could be.
I mean, I took it. It was free, but not sure how much I love it. But 248-539-9797, another edition of Are You Gonna Eat That, coming up today at 12:35. Do you approve of this Pistons offseason so far? It's Carson Anderson, 97.1. Got some breaking news here.
So, Emily Kaplan is saying that the Red Wings are signing Victor Arvidsson to a 2-year contract.
Okay.
Victor Arvidsson is a forward was with Boston last year. He's 33 years old, 5'10", 180 pounds. Had 54 points last year in 69 games with Boston, 25 goals. So 25 goals, 29 assists, and 69 games while playing less than 15 minutes a game. He's a guy who scored 30 goals in a year twice.
What's his name?
Victor Arvidsson, Swedish player.
Oh, I was going to say Bosnian or Icelandic?
Swedish.
Okay.
He scored 30 goals twice, but not since 2019 when he had 34 in 58 games with Nashville. So, interesting. You know, coming off a good season, but is this going to, I'd love to see that. I don't know what the money is on this yet, but love to see what it is. Is this simply just the next David Perron, JT Compher kind of?
Somebody on Twitch probably
a lot of snark
summed
already.
Up. Yeah, well, Bear Slay says the Wings just went from 83 points to 84 points.
Well, a couple years ago, it would have been a difference, right?
Yeah, but that means nothing. Look, could be a player helps them win. This is one of those deals where you're only mad if they don't do anything big.
Right. David Pagnotta just said 11 minutes ago. He says, as mentioned live on the air, sounds like Detroit and Arvidsson are inching to the same to a deal, same with Zuccarello in Los Angeles. Like I thought he was saying the same deal. Zuccarello signed a 1-year deal for $1 million. I don't know what this deal is going to be for, but I hope it's... Obviously, we hope it's not that costly.
You wouldn't think it is. All right, just a quick follow-up here from a Piston insider. If you haven't been following what's gone down this morning, the Pistons did perhaps come closer to getting Jalen Duren back as two teams that one was in the Duren sweepstakes, one was maybe tangentially involved, was Duren sweepstakes adjacent. First, the Lakers went out and got Walker Kessler, so they don't need a center anymore. The Celtics kind of been rumored to maybe be on the fringe of getting involved here. They went out and signed Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks, so they don't need a center. And then there's this from Amari Sankofa, who in responding to a tweet, a question said, the Pistons are not interested in a trade, including with the Kings. Nothing's changed. The likelihood of Duren coming back, let's be clear, we all thought he was coming back on this show, even in the heat of all the West Coast touring he was going to do and the sign and trade offers and what they could entail. We all thought it's probably not going to happen, but you kind of got to talk about it. Now today, I think the conviction is even stronger that he's coming back. Is that a fair assessment?
I think so. Yeah. Let me clarify something, because now the reporting is that the Red Wings are targeting Victor Arvidsson on a 2-year contract per Emily Kaplan.
Okay.
So that's different.
No, that's good. Are you ready for another edition? Are you going to eat that?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Let's go.
Always hungry.
Yeah, well, I know. I got some stuff here maybe you can eat.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Yep. Good. All right, here we go, Gator. I got some new items, and I can always count on our friends at Mountain Dew. Yeah. Mountain Dew is commemorating the 7-Eleven Slurpee's 60th anniversary with a chill new flavor. For a limited time, you'll be able to get the Mountain Dew Confetti Chill Slurpee. According to a press release, inspired by birthday cake with a citrusy twist, the beverage blends bright citrus flavors with notes of sweet vanilla ice cream, giving fans a zesty lemon cake in treat form. Gator, the limited edition Mountain Dew Confetti Chill Slurpee. Are you going to eat that?
So it's a Slurpee.
Yes, but it's like a birthday cake citrusy Slurpee.
I'll try it. I mean, I haven't had a Slurpee. I can't tell you the last time I had a Slurpee, but I used to love 7-Eleven Slurpees.
Mm-hmm.
I would try this flavor. I mean, they're all sugar. So, I mean, if you like one, you're going to want to try another one. This is a flavor. You talk about lemon cake. Yeah, I'm down with that.
Can you?
Yeah, man. I really loved them like in high school and through like college. But then after, it took a pretty long break. But then I had kids and now I'm back. So I might as well try this new confetti chill. And I like Mountain Dew. So, yeah, it's actually the lemon chill. That sounds great.
I've stated for a while that I'm not a fan of birthday cake flavor, like the whole concept. And to mix it with lemon sounds terrible to me. So
you don't like birthday cake? Is that what you're saying?
Do you like lemonade?
I think the things that are flavored like birthday cake.
Oh,
like when you get birthday cake flavored ice cream or birthday cake Pop-Tarts. I'm just never down with that.
They're not as good as you would expect. I like actual birthday cake. I mean, okay, I love birthday cake.
I don't hate birthday cake.
How do you feel about lemonade?
I like lemonade.
But this doesn't appeal to
me. Oh, God, no. Vanilla and lemon doesn't sound good to me at all.
Oh, lemon sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's a good combo.
It's a great combo.
I think it sounds nasty. But next up, Gator, popular Arby's side is getting a freezer aisle version. Arby's potato cakes are heading to major stores in frozen form. The account shared an image of a 27-ounce bag of Arby's frozen potato cakes, which look like the same crispy shredded potato patties fans have been enjoying in a store for years. Gator, the Arby's potato cakes available in your grocer's freezer. Are you going to eat that?
Yeah, I think so. Those are delicious. And I imagine it's an air fryer thing you can do. So,
oh, yeah.
Air fryer makes everything better. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind trying this at all.
Carrying you in?
Yeah, so I generally just get the curly fries whenever I go to Arby's, but I love a good potato cake, and my kids are really into hash browns for breakfast. It's basically like a hash brown, so yeah, I'm definitely in. I love all things potato, though, man. I'm a potato whore.
I love potatoes.
Yeah, I think if I was going to do this...
potatoes from Bosnia?
I think I would just go the curly fries. I need to get an air fryer, though.
Yeah, you do.
I really
do.
It's a healthier version, too.
I know.
It's healthy, dog.
Yeah. I haven't done it, but I would go...
Dude, there's air fryers with extra protein now.
Sweet! Next up, Aldi has released an interesting product. Aldi's crystal clear ice cubes. These are crystal clear frozen ice cubes. They're scheduled to be available starting today. It's ice in a box. To be specific, it's a 1.8 inch wide clear cube made with reverse osmosis purified water. They're marketed as slow melting, making them ideal for sippable cocktails like old fashions or for dressing up like a canned soda. A box of four cubes retails for $4.99. It's a crystal clear ice cube, four of them for $4.99. Gator, are you going to eat that?
Absolutely not. Why? I'm not paying that kind of money for ice. No. And what, to put it in my freezer? So I can use it for or I could simply use the ice from my refrigerator that comes out from the that spits out the ice cubes in the freezer part. Yeah.
Kang, the crystal clear ice cubes.
Yeah, not even if it came with a free Bjork CD. Like, what? This isn't, I thought this was a joke.
From Iceland.
I know, that's why I was thinking, trying to tie it all together. When you were reading it, I thought you were joking. Like, the appeal is it's the big cubes, you know, like you use for like whiskey or something.
So I was at a place that had a lot of craft cocktails and it wasn't Twin Peaks, and it came with one of these giant crystal clear ice cubes. Was it cool?
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, they're cool.
But would I pay $4.99 for a box of four? It doesn't say here these come with more protein. So
how are you getting these home from the store?
Well, they're slow melting. So just like anything else, it's frozen.
So it's going to be less ice by the time you get home?
No, I mean, it's like anything else. It's
you better be quick, but.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a bag of ice and you take it out for a party or something. It's the same thing.
Gator, but do you have the bigger like ice molds? I do. Like the big cube, because I know you're a drinker. Like, yeah, you know.
He's a heavy drinker.
Well,
I'm not a heavy drinker.
Shot? That was a shot at you.
Don't get after anymore.
You look in better shape to me.
Thank you.
Than what Doug was saying.
Yeah, thank you very much. Appreciate that. No, have I bought the ice balls? I haven't. I thought about it. But you know what? I it's so pretentious.
Yeah, dude, it is slower
so
melting.
Freaking, yeah, I get it. But you know what? I don't mind the melt. Because if I go with a heavier pour and, you know, the water helping to dilute the drink a little bit, yeah, it works. It's important sometimes to have that.
I have the big cubes and the spheres. I have like a bunch of different kinds. People have bought some of them. I mean, just for like the bar in the basement.
Yeah, I'm not against them. I mean, they're cool.
All three of us say no to this. Next up, Oreo is launching a new Oreo ID Summer Carnival Cookie Tin. These cookie tins feature five new fudge-coated cookie flavors.
Okay, what we got?
And one returning flavor that already sold out earlier this year. The flavors are hot honey cornbread, strawberry shortcake, chocolate milkshake and fries, lemonade, cotton candy, and they are bringing back a viral April Fool's Day flavor that they actually made and sold, dill pickle. Each Oreo ID flavor starts with a classic Oreo cookie that is dipped in and drizzled with flavored fudge. The dill pickle flavor sold out quickly on April Fool's Day. Gator, are you going to eat these?
Nah, I mean, I didn't love all the flavors you mentioned, and then you threw in the pickle one, which is absolutely no. So I think, were there a total six different kinds of flavors?
Yeah.
I think I was like, the idea of two of those really appealed
to me. Which two?
Repeat them again. Because one was
hot honey cornbread, strawberry shortcake, chocolate milkshake and fries, lemonade, cotton candy.
Yeah, so the strawberry shortcake and the chocolate milkshake and fries is intriguing to me. I'd like to try that. The other ones are eh, and then you end up with dill pickle, and that's an absolute no.
Can you?
I agree with the strawberry shortcake, and the other one I try is lemonade. The other one's, you know, how I feel about pickle. The hot honey cornbread doesn't sound... The milkshake, chocolate milkshake, me there. But then the fries, dude.
I'm curious.
I don't need the fry part. That's weird. But, hey, teach their own. Doug?
I got to tell you, out of all these, the one that appeals the most to me is the hot honey cornbread. I would be intrigued by that one. But let's be honest, I'm never going to get these. And nobody is. I assume nobody is.
Not all of them.
Dairy Queen is introducing three new Blizzard cups and a Patriotic Slush Float.
Here we go.
The Patriotic Slush Float is what we're going to focus on. The float features layers of Cherry Mist Slush, Soft Serve, and Blue Raspberry Misty Slush with Star Sprinkles. It is available for $2.50 from June 29th to July 5th. Gator, are you going to eat that?
Probably not. It doesn't sound terrible. It's just that I don't want to combine slush with my frost, you know, or not frosty. It's a blizzard.
Yeah.
Wrong store. I just give me a blizzard. I don't need the other stuff. And I'm not a big sprinkles fan. So I love blizzards, but this one doesn't sound good to me.
Can you?
I'm probably out on this. If I'm going to do it, I'd just rather have a rather more traditional version. I don't need this. This seems probably above what I would probably like.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my standard, does it sound better than a regular Blizzard? And this does not.
It's from the same place, though.
I know, it's crazy. I go there and I get the Blizzard. I pass on everything else, and this will be another one that I pass on. And there it is, another edition of Are You Going to Eat That? Hey, AJ Hinch, Do you and Scott Harris talk about the trade deadline? Hear what the Tiger manager told our morning show straight ahead here on Carson Anderson on 9. Okay. So at this hour, there's some interesting reporting going on about the Pistons as we await what we feel like is news that's eventually going to come that Durant is back with the Pistons. But, and if you miss what happened today, it's been busy. Durant doesn't look like he's going to LA. They acquired Walker Kessler. He's not going to Boston. They acquired Mitchell Robinson. All the reporters, the beat reporters, and specifically Omari Sankofa saying they're really not interested in a trade with Sacramento. So Durant might be running out of other options. We'll see what comes down. But how about this? From Chris Haynes and then followed up by Piston insider Omari Sankofa. And starting with Haynes, who is senior NBA insider for NBA on Prime and NBA TV. Contrary to speculation, the Pistons will not be waiving marksman Duncan Robinson, league sources tell me. And then Omari says, as I alluded to earlier, John Collins looks like a sign and trade, meaning they can do it without having to waive Robinson to create room. To which I say, yes.
Well, it gives them flexibility, whether they want to hang on to a proven shooter like Duncan Robinson, or if they want to eventually include him as part of a deal so that to make the money work with somebody else. I mean, that's whatever it is, $15 million a year, that works. But either way, all these options that are there with him, this is good. If they end up keeping Duncan Robinson, it's just another excellent shooter that they have coming, perhaps coming off the bench in this role. Maybe not. We'll see what it entails. But I really think this gives him additional flexibility to go out and make a trade for somebody else because you can include him as part of the trade.
Kang, what do you make of this?
I still find it hard to believe Duncan Robinson's going to be on this roster when the season starts. But if he is, it's just more floor spacing. Obviously, Duncan was really good for them last year. Hit a high percentage of three. His defense, obviously, is suspect, and they got to get him off the court when they need stops. But they've got enough flexibility, though, I guess. You know what I mean? Whether they can, if they do keep him on the team, it just, I worried if they keep him on the team, does that stunt the growth of like Okori? I know they don't play the exact same position, but it's the backcourt. And then when you bring in Isaiah Joe and you bring back Kevin Huerter, there's only so many minutes to go around. That's why I still think Duncan Robinson is going to be moved in a trade. And that's what, and we are, all three of us are still expecting a possibly bigger move here at some point by Trajan. So, I mean, Duncan could be part of that.
One thing it feels like is they've said, okay, keep enduring. It's what they want to do. Caden Hassar, and then shooters. Shooters, shooters, shooters. Like everybody they've either brought back or signed can shoot.
I believe they're called strikers, Doug.
It's a different topic,
Gator. Oh, sorry. My bad.
So close, Gator.
Okay. So that's just interesting reporting. Duncan might not be gone after all. All right, AJ Hinch joined the morning show, and they asked him a number of, obviously, insightful questions, and AJ's usually really good with them, and he was again today. So, Tigers can't quite get enough traction to get out of this hole they've been in. What's holding them back? Here's what AJ said.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
if these last two games haven't sold you that this team's going to make a playoff run, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, the pitching's been ridiculous. The starters have given up two hits in the last 16 innings of work and have struck out 19 batters.
And no walks. No walks.
Yeah.
That's incredible. And that's...
and one earned run during that time.
Yep. And all the home runs they've been hitting. Now, part of that has to do a little bit with Yankee Stadium.
Well, they haven't played at Yankee Stadium the whole month.
Fair enough, but the last 2 days has been... I mean, the first inning last night looked like batting practice.
Yes. Off. How many? But
Cam
Schlittler. There you go. Yep. Be careful. Be very careful.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree. It's an easier ballpark to hit home runs, but when you hit the ball 424 feet, that's a home run in any ballpark.
Well, it's a long fly out in Comerica, but
not in right field.
No.
No, the only one that probably wouldn't have been out, and I have to go back and look and see exactly where it was hit, was Carpenter's. It looked like Spencer Jones just missed. He had it in his mitt, and it popped out of his mitt and went over the fence.
Mm-hmm.
But the other home runs were legit home runs. So I love to see the power surge from this team, from some of the guys that you – we kept saying, okay, there's going to be a correction. Riley Green, it seemed, wasn't that long ago, he only had five home runs. Now he's got, what, 11 after the two last night? Spencer Torkelson's got like 13. Dylan Dingler's got, what, 19 home runs? They've got some boppers in the lineup that are starting to hit those home runs. Will they keep it up? Is it we're going to see the same thing in July? Probably not. I mean, there'll be another correction. But I don't know. This is a roller coaster riding all season long. Let's hope that the winning part of this roller coaster continues for a little bit here. But in the meantime, it's just maddening and frustrating because it literally is up three games, down three games, up four games, down three games. It's frustrating.
Can you win enough to get back in this thing and not sell off? And do you and Scott talk about what you need to do to avoid a sell-off? Those questions were asked of AJ Hinch. Here are his answers next here on Carson Anderson on 97.1.